This is the Renewed Minds with Leslie O'Hare podcast. Your host, Leslie O'Hare, mindset life coach, TV personality, TEDx speaker, and author, created this podcast to empower and inspire women and teen girls to cultivate a growth mindset that can revolutionize their lives. Renewed Minds is more than a talk show. It's a pillar of motivation, a source of inspiration, and a gateway to boundless possibilities. It's a platform for engaging conversations that spark change. Let's start the conversation. Here's Leslie.
Welcome to the Renewed Minds Podcast. I'm your host, Leslie O'Hare. Thank you so much for joining us for our very first show. I have two amazing guests on the show today. One of my guests is author and speaker, Jackie McIver. Jackie is the author of Faith, Courage, Grace, and she's also a woman whom I like to call a superhero mom. Also on the show is human rights advocate, Benita Benitez, and she's here sitting down with us today to talk about seven proclamations that she has assisted getting passed throughout the state of Texas. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll be sitting down with Jackie McIver. Back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Leslie O'Hare, the host and creator of the Renewed Minds podcast. I want to share why I started this podcast. The genesis of this show traces back to a period of significant life challenges where I faced a pivotal decision: succumb to life's struggles or courageously rise above them. I chose bravery. Surviving required rewiring my mindset. Embracing a growth mindset became my lifeline. I recognize that my story is not unique. Countless women face adversity and uncertainties. While teen girls navigate challenges like peer pressure, bullying, and the weight carried by those I refer to as fatherless girls, young women shouldering the burden of parental absence. My mission is clear: to inspire women and teen girls to control their mindset, emotions, and behavior, enabling them to overcome obstacles. My team and I need your help to continue this mission. Visit renewedmindspodcast.com to contribute. Every donation, big or small, fuels our conversations and empowers our audience. Join us in empowering women and teen girls to embrace growth, resilience, and achieve mental well-being, one woman, one teen girl at a time. Please visit renewedmindspodcast.com to become an advertiser or to contribute to the show. Thank you for being part of our journey towards mental freedom for women and teen girls.
Welcome back. I am excited to sit down with author and speaker Jackie McIver. Jackie is the author of Faith, Courage, Grace. And Jackie, welcome to the show. I am so excited to sit down with you today. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Leslie. How are you?
I'm doing fantastically well. I'm just excited to talk about your book, talk about your journey.
Absolutely.
And, you know, again, Faith, Courage, Grace. When giving birth doesn't go as planned, you find a way to live.
Yes.
And that's exactly what you have done. And so to start from the very beginning of your book, I thought it was very poignant. I'm going to start at the introduction part, because I really love what you wrote, because I think it's very poignant. You wrote, "Being in trouble can reveal to you who God really is." Why was it important for you to put that at the beginning of the book? And as it relates to your relationship with God?
Leslie, I'm going to be honest with you. Life happens. Things are going to happen in your life that you have no control over. And the reality of it is, I had to decide, what am I going to do? And God became very real for me at the very beginning, at the onset. As I tell you a bit more about my story, the beginning was tragic. It was catastrophic. All of those things were real for me. And I had a choice. And I was like, I'm going to have to do one thing, either choose to live or not. And I chose to live, and I chose to find God for myself in a very different way. Now, funny thing is, Leslie, I used to be a preacher, so I knew about God.
Really? So you already knew about God.
I knew about God.
Yes.
But I didn't know God.
Big difference, right?
Big difference.
Big difference.
And challenges will either provoke you to know who you know, mm-hmm. and what you know.
That's
why I started the book. So make sure everybody understood, this is a real life story. And it started at the beginning with challenges.
And you know, you were 42 years old, you were, it was your dream to have a baby. And so you're pregnant at 42, yes. Everything's going well. The only issues you were having was morning sickness, which is very normal. Until 27 weeks into your pregnancy, life began to change. One day you were going back and forth to the restroom, didn't really know why, until the baby's dad told you your water broke. Then you were immediately rushed to the hospital. And then when you got there, the doctors really, after doing their assessment, they realized that they needed to immediately move you to another hospital that had a level 3 NICU. What was it about, why did your water break, and what was it about that entire situation at the hospital that caused everything to elevate that they needed to transfer you? But then they made the decision that you also needed to have an emergency C-section.
First of all, I still to this day, I don't know why my water broke, and the doctors don't even know either, because that's kind of sometimes happens.
Right.
But what I found is when they took me to the first hospital, they wanted to make sure that me and my child was safe. When they realized how young he was, his lungs weren't fully developed. So at that hospital, they administer medication, and that medication was intended to grow his lungs. When they realized the severity of our situation, they knew that they couldn't service us. So they had to move us to a level 3 NICU, because at that time they didn't know what the outcome was gonna be. Initially, they were gonna try to hold me for 35 weeks. They realized about 3 or 4 days later, they needed to take the baby because contractions happened. And I wrote in the book, which was so funny, I thought it was gas, but it was contraction, because I've never been pregnant. I didn't know.
Right, you didn't know. You wouldn't have been expected to know that.
Exactly.
And when this all happened so quickly, what was it that really transformed within you to know that this time I have to start getting to know God?
The night he was born. He comes out. I don't get to hold him. So the first thing, he's whisked off. I heard him cry, but I never got to hold him. So I don't even know what he looks like. And so the first thing I know, he's moved into an incubator, and they moved him into the NICU. So when I finally got to see him, I saw my little baby, and he was only a pound and 15 ounces. So I've never seen a baby that small in my life. So that's my child, and I'm like, what do I do? And I had to make some decisions, some really important decisions. And those decisions were, am I going to trust God and the one I've been preaching about, teaching about, encouraging people, believe God? Or am I just going to be like, well, God, here it is, this is what? No, I had a decision to make. And it was in my mind and in my heart. I'm going to finally trust in the God that I've been preaching about. I'm going to finally trust in what I believe his word is true. And that was the pivotal moment. Because had I not done it that moment, I don't know if my son will still be here today.
Now, you referenced that Jeremiah, and that's the sweet baby's name.
Yes.
We'll talk about him in a little bit. And who's no longer a baby right now.
No, not at all.
So when you, you know, you talk about him being a little over 1 pound. If we put that into perspective, a stick of butter is only a pound. So when you say you haven't seen a baby that small, that's a pretty small baby. And so I understand why the doctors had to make very precise decisions and be very delicate in the surgical procedure. Now, one of the things, I do want to highlight certain things in your book because I think it's very poignant. You also say, being transparent, I always show my genuine emotions and I never stay negative. Which, when I think about that, I said, wow, this is a strong woman. How can you not stay negative? How are you able to persist in being positive? Because you're going through so much, your baby's going through so much. And then you continue to write. Instead, you work your way through. Working through those emotions through God and with God's help is the inspiration behind this book. When it gets tough and you don't know what steps to take, lean on your faith and walk in courage each day while experiencing the pure grace of God. What gave you that strength to be positive? Because most of us would lean toward the negative side. Was it your relationship with God, and was it anything else that you knew that you just had to keep trucking along and staying optimistic?
Honestly, Leslie, I had to make a pivotal decision right away, and I had to think about it. I have been believing God for since I was 13 years old. I was 13. And so when you have a relationship, you hear about the God, and you read about the things, and I'm like, I preached about it and I encouraged people. I said, God, I'm going to take you at your word. And I literally said that to the Lord. I'm going to take you at your word, and I'm going to have to, whatever's facing, because I don't know what's coming. I don't understand. I don't even understand the terminology they're using. I just had to make a decision. Lord, help me. And one of the things that people say, you're strong, but the secret I've learned is whispering a prayer, simple as, Lord, help me. You will find a peace that will come over you in the midst of chaos, in the midst of uncertainties. And I kept doing that. That was my secret sauce for me. Lord, help me, because I don't know what's going on.
Right.
Lord, help me. I kept saying it, whether I said it out loud or in my head. And I knew if I kept my mind on the Lord, on what I remembered of the Word, because sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I forgot some things. I forgot some scriptures. I couldn't remember things.
Right.
But the reality is, but I did remember that I serve a big God. And that's what I honed in. And I do that even till this day. Because doesn't mean you don't go through.
Right.
Because you will.
And also, you know, we always go through things. And one thing we have to remember, you just alluded to that, our God is bigger than any situation that we can ever go through. You've been going through this as a single mom. You've been carrying the weight of the world on your shoulder, being optimistic, being positive, and it allowed you to build this closer intimacy with God. What advice would you give to a mom or parent, dad or mom, that are raising a child right now with special needs, and they are really trying to hang on to dear life because they have their precious child that they're worried about, and that's not the baby they had expected? We all hope and pray for healthy children. What advice would you give to them to keep pressing forward, not to give up, but not just to them? What advice would you also give to them to give to their child to stay strong?
Wow. Excellent. I'm going to be honest with you. Two things I did. One, I didn't let anybody tell me who my child was. So I refused to accept. Now, didn't mean I didn't agree, didn't follow the doctor's orders or the educator order, whoever the individual was. I listened to what they said, but I didn't give them permission to decide who my child was going to be, who he is. I left that to the Creator. That was the first thing. And then the second thing, I had to be honest with myself. It's okay to say you need help. And as a single mom navigating through this, there are times you're going to have to seek help. And I had to do that. So for the last 10 years, I've been seeking counseling or, you know, support, those kind of things. I would tell a parent, don't let anybody tell you who your child is. Ask the Creator. And then when you're talking to your child, then speak to your child exactly what the Creator has told you your child is going to be, and reinforce that over and over. And when people will come and say some crazy things, I promise you, I've heard everything in the world, but I don't allow them to define them. So I reject it, and I have to be intentional about it. But I don't let them say, oh, that's nice, but this is what God said he's going to be.
Right.
And you stand on that and just don't move. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes, because then you start believing what you're saying.
Absolutely. Well, you know, life is in the tongue, right?
That's right.
We either speak life into our life or we speak death into our life. And it's very important that to hear you as a mom, because as we know, there's so many parents with children with special needs. And one of the things that really help is that when you can be positive, the child sees that you're positive, then you're instilling that back in them, as I know you've done with Jeremiah. So I want to talk about him for a little bit. And Jeremiah, as I said earlier, is no longer a little baby. He's a sweet, precious boy that the producer has up on screen. And he's 13 years of age now.
Yes.
And so, big personality, right?
Yes.
Loves his mom.
Yes.
And so, I know that he recently had a 16-hour surgical procedure. Tell us about the procedure and how is Jeremiah doing?
I'm so glad you described him so well. He has a huge personality.
Yes.
But Jeremiah, 13 years old, is going through puberty. So let me clarify, he is 13.
Right.
That is real critical in the statement.
Right.
And so he's going through the normal things in any 13-year-old child, so all the hormonal changes. But while he went through surgery, which was a most invasive surgery he's ever had, I learned something about his heart, which that I didn't really know. After 16 hours of being in surgery, when I walk into the NICU, when I walk into the ICU area, the first thing out of his mouth, the first statement he says, he looks up at me. First of all, I thought he was going to be incubated, but they took the incubator out because he could breathe on his own.
Right.
The first thing out of his mouth, hi, mom, how are you? That's the personality. That's the person. He's getting stronger. He's determined. I don't know fully everything. I don't fully understand because I didn't realize the severity of pain he was in prior to surgery.
Right.
So with that surgery, which was spinal fusion, which people who are familiar with scoliosis will understand, that is a major life-altering surgery.
It is.
But for him to come out and first thing he says, hi, mom, how are you doing? And to know that he was more concerned about me, and he just came out of 16 hours of surgery. And that's the child I've been living with. And my thinking is, whatever he needs to do, whatever he needs, we're going to get it. And right now, he's 13. He's saying what he wants to say. Yeah, fighting against me. He's doing whatever. Every 13, everything else that comes along with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Like into girls now. Right. Yeah, all of that stuff. It's still there.
That part.
That part too.
How would you describe Jeremiah in one word?
Hilarious. Because you'd be surprised. He's considered limited expressive mm-hmm. in terms of language. So he doesn't have an extensive vocabulary,
right.
but he knows how to make you laugh. Mm-hmm. He knows how to say the right thing at the sometimes inappropriate times. At the wrong time, right? But when he says it, it's authentic. It's really from his heart. And I just light up. And the biggest thing he's always had from the day he's come into this world is his smile. Mm-hmm. His smile is infectious. Until this day, it is still infectious.
Well, he gets that from you.
Thank
you know,
you.
If
Thank
you walk,
you.
Well, you have a beautiful smile, but if you walked around sad, moping, worried, and not relying on God, then his attitude would be different as well. So let's talk about your nonprofit, Jeremiah's Voice, which is named after Jeremiah.
Yes.
An amazing nonprofit. I think that it's so courageous of you to start this mm-hmm. for parents and children with special needs. How do you actually meet their needs? Because there's one part of your organization I think is amazing. It really helps children as well as adults when they receive a toy for a Christmas, birthday, or at any time during the year, it really helps them to not feel different. And so tell us, how do you meet those needs?
Absolutely. The nonprofit is a public charity, so we service all disabilities. And our motto is living beyond disability. And it's the living aspect that we focus in on. So when we think and we're giving someone, we give a gift to that specific child. Mm-hmm. And we do it age specific and disability appropriate. And I use Jeremiah as my baseline because he has what they call triplegic cerebral palsy, which means he only has a usage of one arm. Mm-hmm. So he's in a wheelchair. So because he's not able to utilize normal toys, so if they pick up a toy from Walmart or any other store, he can't just use it because he only has one arm. So we give gifts that we can allow adaptive. So we make the toy user-friendly. So if you give a toy a truck, we make sure we can put an adaptive to it so that he can still use it with his one arm. So we make sure that we focus in on that individual child and or adult and what their needs are so that we can meet that need and make that person smile and let them know that they're valued and appreciated. So we make sure we learn about them and then we service them accordingly.
I think that's amazing because it lets them know they can still play. They want to have fun as well, and they're not being left out. So thank you for doing that, you and your organization. I want to talk about your mom's retreat. Tell us about that.
I love it because one of the things that we like to do is service the moms. And I brought in a licensed therapist. The interesting thing about the licensed therapist, she's a special needs mom too.
Really?
And so she was able to come in and provide therapeutic information, things like self-care, knowing how to journal, things like that. And also about a lifestyle coach who deals with the eating, the health, and how to have fun. Because one thing, I'll be honest, as a caregiver, as a special needs mom, anyone else, you forget how to live. And the focus of the retreat was to get moms away just for a couple of days, pour into them, and have a lot of fun. We laughed. I mean, I wanted to get some sleep. I don't know how much sleep we got, but we laughed a lot. And the moms till this day are still appreciative that we were able to come together, get away from everything for just a couple of days, and literally be rejuvenated and refreshed. And then to hear from another special needs mom, that was the icing on the cake. They didn't know it until she was able to relate, because her child is also in a similar situation that Jeremiah is in. So she was able to speak to the heartbeat of individuals, and that made a huge difference. And that's what we try to do.
You know, Jackie, let me ask you a question. I talk a lot about the I got it moment.
Yes.
The I got it moment is when you have a life lesson. Mm-hmm. You might have heard it before, but this time it really sticks and you have it. What is your I got it moment?
The day Jeremiah was born, I had to realize that everything that I do going forward was going to be for his life. And knowing that pressure and knowing that the decisions that I had to make, I had to realize that everything I got, I have to put it in God. Mm-hmm. And I learned at the night when he code blew several times, I had to decide, Lord, I'm gonna walk through this, but I'm not gonna walk alone. And I'm gonna do it your way. Because I'm not smart enough. Leslie, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes we get in our own head. We get in our own way, in our own thinking. I had to rely on God. I had to say, God, I need you. Teach me, Lord. How do I talk to the doctors? How do I talk to this person? How do I ask for help? Because that's a hard thing to do. How do you ask for help?
Right.
And that moment, the night he was born, was my Damascus Road experience. Because I either moving forward with God or I'm going to go the other direction. And Lord knows, I don't know where that would have ended up.
Right.
Yeah. So that was my aha moment.
What is the I got it moment that you would want someone to have upon reading your book?
I would like for them to look at the ways they can identify in the book and then make some decisions. Look at, evaluate their lives. And the thing that I always want people to leave away with is hope. And hope that if you got through something before, you're going to be able to get through it again, because life is going to continue to happen.
Right.
And as you're reading this book, my hope is you will learn something and get strength and be intentional about it. I think intentionality is the key to anything, because if you don't, you'll miss some of the lessons that are in the book.
Right.
And so just tell them, read the book and be open. Be don't be judgmental, just be open, but then see how you can relate to it, because I promise you, you'll be able to relate to it some way.
What was your first thought when you started to write the book, and then what was your final thought?
When I first started, it was healing. I wrote the very first manuscript, was not the manuscript that you see today, but it allowed me to heal. I was able to put down everything on paper, and I was able to read it back and look at where I was. And it took several years, several different versions of the book, the manuscript, to be developed. And when I finally got to the final version, I saw the life lessons that I speak about in the book that I've actually walked through and learned myself. That was a healing moment to know that, okay, I've gotten this far, I can continue going. That's what I want the readers to walk away with.
Well, Jackie, it's been a pleasure sitting down with you. It really has been. Thank you so much for writing this wonderful book. And if you want to find out more information and book Jackie to speak at any of your upcoming events at your church or corporate events, please log on to her website at JackieMcGyver.com. If you would like to donate or volunteer with Jackie's nonprofit, Jeremiah's Voice, visit JeremiahsVoice.org. I want to thank you so very much, Jackie. I just think that it was very courageous again for you to write this book. You keep doing amazing things and keep being a superhero mom. We're gonna take a quick break, and when I come back, I'll be with human rights advocate, Vanita Benitez. Back in a moment.
Hi, I'm Leslie O'Hare, the host and creator of the Renewed Minds podcast. I want to share why I started this podcast. The genesis of this show traces back to a period of significant life challenges where I faced a pivotal decision: succumb to life's struggles or courageously rise above them. I chose bravery. Surviving required rewiring my mindset. Embracing a growth mindset became my lifeline. I recognize that my story is not unique. Countless women face adversity and uncertainties. While teen girls navigate challenges like peer pressure, bullying, and the weight carried by those I refer to as fatherless girls, young women shouldering the burden of parental absence. My mission is clear: to inspire women and teen girls to control their mindset, emotions, and behavior, enabling them to overcome obstacles. My team and I need your help to continue this mission. Visit renewedmindspodcast.com to contribute. Every donation, big or small, fuels our conversations and empowers our audience. Join us in empowering women and teen girls to embrace growth, resilience, and achieve mental well-being, one woman, one teen girl at a time. Please visit renewedmindspodcast.com to become an advertiser or to contribute to the show. Thank you for being part of our journey towards mental freedom for women and teen girls.
We're back. I'm excited to sit down with human rights advocate, Vanita Benitez. Vanita, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Leslie. I'm happy to be here.
You are so welcome. I'm glad to have you here. Yeah. You know, I want to talk about your advocacy work before we really get into what the National Freedom Day is really about.
Okay.
Tell us, as an advocate, what are some of the things that you're advocating for?
Well, in 1948, there's a Declaration for Human Rights. It was approved by the General Assembly, which is national and international, and I was able to focus on the human rights, and that is freedom, justice, and peace in our world. And that's what it's about.
When we talk about the National Freedom Day, it's annually
yeah.
on February 1st.
Yeah.
And so it really commemorates President Lincoln's, he signed the actual resolution. And so, which really was because it established the Constitution's 13th Amendment abolishing slavery.
That is correct.
So whenever we talk about National Freedom Day, it's so pivotal in our life. What do you really want everyone to know about that particular day, and why is it important that we really focus in on it and celebrate it?
Well, it's a day that, as you said, President Lincoln signed a congressional resolution on February 1st to abolish slavery. Mm-hmm. It was a day that once he did that, I would say that he also supported black men voting. And shortly after, he was assassinated. So to me, it ties into someone that actually fought for justice and equality for all human beings. And that is the reason why I think it's an important day to commemorate.
And when we talk about the advocacy work that you do, I mean, you're so involved in the community. And you have been really a front runner for different proclamations in different cities throughout the state of Texas, Frisco, The Colony, Cedar Hill, and so many more. Tell us about the proclamations. What was your involvement? And I'm sure that had to just been such a highlight in your life to be a part of that.
Well, I advocated because we have laws that are being enacted, proclamations such as National Freedom Day Proclamation, the Emancipation Proclamation. Several other proclamations that lead to the Human Awareness Proclamation that President Barack Obama signed. Okay, and so I looked at these proclamations, and it's one thing for it to be signed and not generated to the average people. So you have to go into your city. Take those proclamations into your city and basically get with your mayor and ask them to, do they adopt this particular view? And that's what I did.
What is the difference between a proclamation and a resolution?
Well, the proclamation, I believe, there was a girlfriend by the name of Bonnie Marshall who, when I told her I was lobbying for National Freedom Day Proclamation, and she said, we don't need another proclamation, we need a resolution, Vanita. And I was like, well, what's the difference in the proclamation and the resolution? And one goes through the Senate, Congress, and it gets passed, and that's the resolution. The proclamation can actually be signed by the mayor and the city council, and that's the two difference. Now, what makes a presidential proclamation? Because he actually signs the resolution, the congressional resolution, into law before they sign a proclamation, if I'm not correct.
Now, I know you're very involved with human trafficking as well. So there's 24.9 million individuals, unfortunately, that are exploited through human trafficking. When we talk about that, what is it that made you really want to get involved? Because that is just such a heartfelt situation that we don't want anyone to be a part of, but it's growing by the minute, actually. What was it about it that really wanted you to, that you wanted to get involved and help?
Well, there are several reasons, but I will tie it into the United Nations issued a book to me, and they sent me a book when I was talking about human rights and the Declaration of Human Rights in modern day slavery. And they sent a book that I have right here back in 2009 that represented that we had 300 million slaves in our world today, and an additional 249 children between the ages of 5 and 18. So when I saw that, I was devastated, and it compelled me to look further into human trafficking and modern day slavery. So that's what it was. It wasn't 29 million, and that's a large number in itself. And when we look at the proclamation, the first president that actually signed the proclamation was George W. Bush, right when he was exiting. And no one gives him credit, but that is a humongous proclamation.
Absolutely.
But President Barack Obama, followed shortly after with the proclamation, and every succeeding president to this day has signed this proclamation. So when we look at 29 million slaves in our world today, or children, labor through sex trafficking, whatever, you think back in 2010, it was roughly about a $50 billion industry. And here, 13 years later, we're a $150 billion industry and growing. And what are these proclamations doing? What are they doing in it?
Right.
You know, they're supposed to be more effective to me. And so that's why I go out and I try to lobby the city or the state that I live in for a resolution or a proclamation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I commend you for doing that, because we have to be at the forefront. If we want to change something, we need to be a part of that change. And that's why the show is really about having a growth mindset and really working together collectively and getting everyone at the forefront to make a difference and be that part of that change as you're doing. Continue to do amazing work. And yeah. I am so excited to see what you do in the future. It's been an honor to have you here today as a guest.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. If you would like to learn more about Benita, please definitely log on to her website at nationalfreedomday.com. The National Human Rights Trafficking Hotline is available. If you or someone you know that is involved in human trafficking, please call 888-373-7888 or text HELP to 233-7333, or you can chat humantraffickinghotline.org/chat. We will be back in a moment after a quick commercial break.
Hi, I'm Leslie O'Hare, the host and creator of the Renewed Minds podcast. I want to share why I started this podcast. The genesis of this show traces back to a period of significant life challenges where I faced a pivotal decision: succumb to life's struggles or courageously rise above them. I chose bravery. Surviving required rewiring my mindset. Embracing a growth mindset became my lifeline. I recognize that my story is not unique. Countless women face adversity and uncertainties. While teen girls navigate challenges like peer pressure, bullying, and the weight carried by those I refer to as fatherless girls, young women shouldering the burden of parental absence. My mission is clear: to inspire women and teen girls to control their mindset, emotions, and behavior, enabling them to overcome obstacles. My team and I need your help to continue this mission. Visit renewedmindspodcast.com to contribute. Every donation, big or small, fuels our conversations and empowers our audience. Join us in empowering women and teen girls to embrace growth, resilience, and achieve mental well-being, one woman, one teen girl at a time. Please visit renewedmindspodcast.com to become an advertiser or to contribute to the show. Thank you for being part of our journey towards mental freedom for women and teen girls.
That's our show for today. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. I thank all of my guests. I also want to thank you at home for welcoming me to your home, into your car, even into your kitchen, wherever you're watching the show from today. I am so grateful. I want to thank my producer, Sarah, and the entire production team for your tireless work. I also want to thank a very special person, my mentor and business colleague, Linda Gray. Linda, thank you so much for being such a support. This could not happen without your support, and I am looking so forward to all of the many projects that you and I will be working on together. And thank you for encouraging me to step out of my comfort zone, so to speak, and to move forward even in adversity, to be able to do what Nike always says, just do it. So thank you for that. If you would like to advertise on the Renewed Minds podcast, please visit renewedmindspodcast.com. www.thenewmindspodcast.com if you would like to contribute, because we really need your support to keep this amazing podcast going forward so that we can reach women and teen girls worldwide to help them to cultivate a growth mindset. Please visit renewedmindspodcast.com to contribute, or you can also scan the QR code on the screen. Thank you again. I love you for watching. Bye, everybody.